And this chapter, when I looked at it, I thought, you know, especially tonight, in fact, the whole chapter is pretty much about tongues, right? So now in this area, I don't even know in this area if there's a lot of Pentecost or that kind of an influence to begin with in this area. I mean, you go around to some of the bigger cities, there's a lot more of that. And that's what this chapter pretty much talks about. Now, most people, if somebody were to come up to you and ask you, you know, what do you think about speaking in tongues? For instance, if somebody was in a Church of God, and that's where they went to church, then they wanted to come join our church. You know, would you accept a baptism from a Church of God? Would you at least have to have a conversation about why you don't do that? Now, I can't tell you who, but one of the pastors that you know recently in his church just 2 weeks ago told me that there was a lady came to his church service, and in the church service started speaking in tongues. He said he couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. So he let it go that one Sunday, and then he thought, well, if they come back again, I'm going to have to say something to them. The next Sunday they came back, and as soon as the service started, she started speaking in tongues, and here's what she told him. She said, well, this is the First Baptist Church I ever felt the Spirit of God in, and I just couldn't hold it back. You know, now, and that was just 2 weeks ago, and I told him, I said, I'm thankful that was your church, not this one. You know, I mean, because that's just an awkward thing, and he had to take him out to the side. He said, look, you're welcome to come, but it's not something that we do here. Here's why we're not going to do it, but you're welcome to come. You just can't do that. And they stayed for a couple more minutes, and then they left, because obviously that was important to them. So it's not like something that you're going to deal with a ton of in this area. But it's nice to know why we believe. You know, most people, you say, why don't we believe in tongues? And you're going to say, well, what would you say? You know, and what would your answer be? Well, it's just not for today. Well, you can say that, but do you know why? I mean, in the mechanics. Well, by the time we get done through this, if you can stay with me, it'll certainly shed a little bit of light of this. Now, I don't know what you believe about the Bible. But I believe you can take a Bible and take a person that is on a deserted island, has never met anybody. You could give them a Bible. They can read it, and they could understand it without any outside help. I honestly 100% believe that. Commentaries are not ordained of God. They're used by God, just like preaching, but they're not ordained by God. And if you have to have that along with the Bible, well, we got issues, right? So I honestly believe that you can just take the Bible. And that's what we're going to do. Just take the Bible, and that's why I like to stay in just these chapters, is to show you that if you look at it and you know the rest of the Bible, then you can put these things together. I believe if you gave somebody a Bible and asked them on a deserted island, you know, how many days did God take to make the world? They're going to say 6 days. Why? Because that's what it says. Now you start getting input from other areas, it goes all over the charts. But if all they had was the Bible, I think it'd be very clear. And if you had any questions about tongues, if you came across this chapter, you're at least going to say, it really has no place in the church today. Now remember, he's writing a church. Why is he writing the church and talking about this? Because they had a problem with this. It was creating issue. All right, let's dig in a little bit and see how far we can get. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now you can take that two different ways. This unknown tongue, again, think about the privacy of your mind, right? God can do something that I can't do. Chris may be sitting there thinking, right now, I wish he'd shut up. You know, he just sits up there, talk. I don't know what he's thinking. He could be thinking that. Now, Chris, would you like your thoughts for the whole week put on a screen? Sandy, you in? Come on, Sandy. Betty, you in? Oh, yeah. Hey, Lloyd, she was quick about that. What kind of week have you? No. Right? Well, because our mind is a very private area, right? And I cannot think of anything more intimate and personal than your mind. And I can't think of anything more special than just being able to communicate with God on a thought. How could it get more special than that? So when you read this unknown tongue, I'm just going to just say, it doesn't say a special tongue. It doesn't say an angelic tongue. It just says an unknown tongue. All right? It could be Japanese and you don't speak Japanese. That is an absolute possibility here when you look at this. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, meaning that if nobody else understands it, the only person in the room that's going to understand it is God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. Now he's saying that tongues, if nobody understands what you're saying, there's no benefit except to God himself. Okay? That's what he's saying. There's no benefit. What we do in church needs to benefit. It needs to edify. It needs to encourage. So if I get up here and I say something and you don't understand it, we miss the whole point of the church service, and that is to edify. You know, by the way, you ever thought about preaching? Why doesn't the pastor just simply get up and read the scripture? I mean, that'd be a lot quicker, right? I mean, I'd get you out for lunch fast. Why does he read it and then go back and explain something you just read? In a way, that's prophesying. Not prophesying something new. It's going over and revisiting what we just read, having taken, the pastor's supposed to take the time to study to show himself approved, to know how to tie it in. And also, like, there's sometimes you go and you don't need a history lesson to understand the Bible. One of the jobs that a pastor is supposed to do is to take what's in the Word of God, rightly divide it, and then make it applicable to the day and age which we live today, to apply it. There's no application. It's just words on it. You know, there's got to be an application to it. This is what we're to do with what we just read, right? Okay, so prophesying, or taking the scripture and then edifying somebody with the scripture and tying how that's, you could use an illustration that involves a camel and then take that and apply it to our lives today. That's what preaching does, okay? All right, it says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That's what that does, all right? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Hey, look at him. Look what he did. You know, whether it's an angelic tongue or, hey, he's speaking Russian and, you know, he can't even speak English, you know. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, and he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, this is the Apostle Paul taking the task of this church and telling the people in that church they're speaking in tongues, saying, listen, if nobody knows what you're saying, there's no reason to do it. You would much rather prophesy because then you can comfort somebody. Now, this prophesying isn't what you think prophesying is. It's not. The Bible's already written. There's no more prophecy. The whole thing's right here. What are you going to prophesy? Okay? All right? That it's not that kind of a prophesying, something that nobody else knows. Because if it needed to be known, do you know where it would be? Right here. Okay? Because this is the book to the whole world. It is prophesying on what's here, and then how that it can help you. So I can, like what Buck did the other day. Okay? He got up. He shared something in his life that God helped him with. That in turn, I had several people say, hey, that helped me. Okay? That word of encouragement, that word of exhortation, you telling me how you applied a verse about faith, you telling me how you used something that helped you about bitterness, and you share it with me on what it did for you, well, that's prophesying and edifying me. You're helping me with not something that nobody knows, but something that's in the Bible, something that you've applied, you've seen it work. And then now you're going to encourage me with those things. And he's saying, that's far better to do than to speak in a tongue that nobody knows. Okay? It says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, we know that there was definitely a tongue that nobody could understand. We know that there would be an interpreter, okay? Now, where I lean, an unknown tongue that somebody has not spoken, and they, let's say they start speaking Spanish, but and Chris doesn't know Spanish either, and all of a sudden Chris can say, hey, I just understood what he said. We know that to be true from the sermon on Pentecost, right? That's what happened. All right? They were preaching, and then everybody could understand them in their own tongue. And then Chris say, and it might be where that guy doesn't know Spanish, so he couldn't then tell you what it said. And then Chris would turn around and say, well, here's what he said. But whatever it would be, wouldn't be a new chapter in the Bible. It wouldn't be something that was, because think about that. Then the times he said not to do it, if there was not an interpreter, you're telling me at that moment you could have done it and you had a truth from the Bible, now you can't do it because there wasn't, that just gets out there in Crazyville real fast. So you know that's not what it was, okay? And it says, he that prophesieth and he that speaketh with tongues, except and he interpret the church may receive edifying. That's the whole end, is to be edified. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? Now, you notice he put doctrine in there? We know what doctrine is. You know what prophecy is. There's prophecy in this Bible. And you know there's revelation in this Bible. It's not new things. Okay, it's things that already are where the person's been given insight to some. Have you ever read a chapter and read a chapter and read a chapter, come to church, heard preaching on the very same chapter, and they point out something you didn't see? Well, how did the preacher see it? Because he's special? No, because this has all got blinders on it that are hidden by the Holy Spirit. And as you read it, what does he do? What does he do? He reveals it to you. Do you understand that you cannot grasp this whole Bible? So he lets you see it when you need it, as you need it, and what applies to you. He brings those truths out to you. That's a revelation. Okay? That's how the Bible works. So, if Lloyd had a revelation and Lloyd were to stand up and say, hey, God help me with something today. Let me show you what he showed me in the Bible. And he kept it in the Bible, that would be 100% biblical. Right? Okay, now, the problem is where you get into is, well, let's say you have somebody that doesn't come to your church. Now, I've been doing this for 30 years, and believe me, I've had some people get up and they think, hey, I got a word for the Lord, and you just you grab the pew and hold on because you have no idea what's next. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes you wish the moment never happened, you know, and it creates problems. That's what was happening here. Okay, verse 7. And even things without, so it's talking about edifying, revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or by doctor. Now look at this. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? What he's saying is, same thing with things that don't have words. If Sandy just got up there and started banging notes on there, how's that going to edify us? Now, what song were you playing before we started? You remember? Oh, Come All You Faithful. Now, I don't need to know the words to Oh, Come All You Faithful, and neither do you. If you hear it, do you know you can be edified by that without knowing the words because you are familiar with that song and you know what goes with it? But she starts just banging on notes up there. That's going to be aggravating, not edifying, not going to make any sense, and it certainly isn't going to be pleasing to you. And that's what he's saying here about tongues. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now I would say that the same thing with preaching. If preaching is done in such a way where if you don't know your audience, listen, when I'm in Africa, there's no sense in me using illustrations about America. It's useless. I spend the whole sermon trying to tell them you have to preach in accordance to the people that you're preaching to. Well, I would never try to tackle something out of the book of Revelation through an interpreter with people that have just barely grasped the gospel. I'm going to have to go from my language to his language to their language, and I'm just going to lose them. Oftentimes, when I'm in Africa, I will just take two or three because here's something else that would be hard for you. Very few have a Bible. And I can bring them Bibles, they can't read. So when you preach to somebody who does not have the ability to read, you're going to have to be very specific in how you bring that message. Because if you don't, you're just going to be speaking in the air. It also has to do with, you know, we're all used to different cultures and things. If you're not relevant, then you're not going to be able to be understood. Okay? Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. All right? So even he's saying so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, I know not the meaning of the voice. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He's saying if I can't understand it, it's just going to sound craziness to me. Okay? Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. He's saying instead of trying, and I will tell you the charismatic movement is a very emotionally based movement. It works on emotions. You know what? Your faith and your walk with God cannot be based on emotions. If you're married, your marriage cannot be based on emotions. Because if it is, it won't last very long. You know? It has to be based on truth and commitment. That's what it's got to be based on. It can't be based on emotions. And the Word of God can't be based on emotions. Serving God cannot be based on emotions. You know, the charismatic, it's very emotional. It also attracts a lot of women for that purpose because it's emotionally based. But you know what? God's bigger than my emotions. You know, when I'm having a bad day, he's still having a good day. That when I'm down, he's always up. You know, that's the absolute truth. Okay? I mean, we can be all over the charts. You know, I am a bubbly person. The moment I'm not bubbly, people think I'm sick. Or something's wrong. I get asked all the time, what's wrong? My face was killing me. I had to give it a rest. You know, it takes more. Going around this all the time, it takes a lot of energy. Sometimes you just want to go, and then everybody like, hey, are you depressed? No, I'm just trying to be normal for a minute. And you shouldn't be over there laughing like that. It says, verse 12, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to edifying of the church. Again, it's all about helping people. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. All right? So if you're going to do it, he's saying you're going to have to let people know what you said. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. There's no profit in it again. He just keeps, you know how many times he's brought this up? Okay. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I like how he put singing in here. Because what he is saying is that when you look at these gifts, these are gifts from God, that God has allowed somebody to do that. If God gave somebody, think about this, would God give you a revelation? Even back then when it was something that they did, would God give you a revelation if it was not going to edify? Well, then if you have the revelation, how do we know it's from God? Because if it comes without an interpreter, and if it comes without making any sense, then it can't be from God, because God wouldn't do that and then have Paul write a whole chapter on how you're not supposed to do that. So then you have to look at it as that these movements, like the charismatic movement, can have a part of truth, but that part truth can lead a lot of people astray. And they can lean on that instead of truth in the Word of God. Right? Okay? And if you can get wrapped up in that and you can slow them down, when the devil talked to Eve in the garden, he gave her half truths. And she was comfortable with the fact that it was a half a truth. Right? It wasn't an out lie. Didn't ask her to be an atheist. Just gave her half a truth. The confusion that you see today in religion, there is a power behind that confusion. When you look at the Catholics, I mean, listen, on face value, there's a lot of good things there. I can't deny that. I mean, they believe in God. They believe abortion's wrong. Absolutely believe abortion's wrong. Nowadays they've kind of given up on it, but before, you got a divorce, you were in a bad way with the church. Okay, you had to go through a lot of stuff to fix that. Well, that's all changed. I mean, there's a lot of good things. I mean, they believe in Jesus Christ. The Catholic Church absolutely believes Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No question about that. But they do not believe he's sufficient in his payment for sin. They bring in the fact that you got to do something. So if you ask a Catholic priest today, where is he going to go when he dies? He's going to give you this answer. He doesn't know. Well, there you go. You just knock the Lord out of it, right? Can that send you to hell based on what we know in the Bible? If you're trusting your works and not Christ, yeah. And what's the end goal here? Well, same way it would be with this. Confusion in the church causes problems. You know, I would say so even today. Like I told you before, I just don't find it in the Bible of anybody praying and asking God to save them and then God not saving them. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, well, I prayed and God just didn't save me. The problem is, I can't find that in here, that he's ever done that to anybody. All right? So I can't wrap my arms around that. I'm going to have to say that's a byproduct of teaching that's caused confusion, that's made this difficult when it shouldn't be, and it's tied to the faith of a little child. It's complicated. How are they doing that? Right? Well, it's the same kind of confusion you see here that makes it more difficult, clouds the area, and then people don't believe like they should. They get off track. Okay. But I also like the fact that he's saying, when you sing, it needs to be spirit-filled. When you sing, it needs to edify. You know, I'm probably not, now this may get me in a little bit of trouble, but I'll wait in the weeds. I'm not a super big fan in Slippery Rock, we used to have some of the bigger named Southern Gospel groups come in. We've had the McCameys, you name them, we've had them. In fact, even back long enough ago, even the cathedrals. Well, the problem is you get in those bigger groups. I mean, number one, they're not cheap. They come with a minimum. And I can tell you what some of their minimums are because we paid it. I mean, it's like $5,000. All right, that's the first thing. Second, it's the theatrics behind it. Now, in your car going down the road, perfectly okay. That would be because you don't have all that in the background. But when you have the choreographed stuff, if everybody moves like this and everybody moves like that, you're getting away a little bit of what he's saying here. Because if you notice, he's saying something about singing too. He's saying it needs to be spirit and it needs to be edifying. And it should never be edifying. It should never be focusing on the person singing. That's not where it goes. It should go up there, and then that should edify you. Okay? So we'll get back out of there. All right? You know, now, I like the music. I just, some of that stuff would be on a steady basis. In a church service, in a car, that's different. You know, I don't have church in the car. You know, but in here, you want it to be something that edifies and lifts up and not distracted in some of those other things that you can get distracted in. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? I like this. Look at what it says. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room? So who is he that occupieth the room? That's a visitor. Okay? And then you notice this. Of the unlearned. Somebody who's not been to church. Who's not been around this stuff. And all of a sudden he's in church. And what do you get? I remember in Slippery Rock, we had a guy come in. And he preached on hell. And he was a bigger gentleman. I mean, much bigger. And well, he was just soaking wet when he was in. That service lasted, I bet you we were in there for 2 hours. When he got up there, there was a man sitting four pews back. First time he'd been to church in forever. He didn't go to church anymore because the last time he went to church, the preacher preached on hell and never went back again. That guy got up. No, I don't mind this. He preached on hell. The problem is, it was painful. But as he got preaching on hell, he stopped. And he started preaching on long hair on men. And guess who's the only one in the whole entire room that had long hair? The visitor. I mean, he went right for him. Of course, the guy never came back again. Never come back again. And also, not only did he have long hair, he also had an earring. And he had to go on and say this, that, you know, they say if the earring's in your right ear, you're okay. If it's in the left ear, you're not. And he says, the only difference is you're only that far from being, then he said the word. And none of that's edifying, right? Not a single bit of that's edifying. It's not even biblical, you know, to do that, okay? And he was somebody occupied the room, was a somebody unlearned, not familiar with church, and that's what he got that day. Zero help, never come back. Well, he's saying, well, that's what happens if you've got a visitor in the room and somebody stands up and starts going off in some tongue that you don't know, and their guy's looking at him and saying, has this guy been drinking? Remember what they said? Does anybody remember what they said about the Apostle Paul at Pentecost? Christian, remember what they said? Lloyd, you remember what they said? Yeah, and what did he say? He's like, guys, it's like lunchtime. You know? He's like, come on, are you kidding me? It's like lunch. Who drinks at lunch? That's exactly what they said of him. They said, hey, you've been drinking. And then Paul said, no, we're not drunk. And then he had to clarify, guys, it's like lunchtime. You know, which I thought that was kind of funny. But what he's saying is you can have that same confusion. Somebody just get up and start babbling around and nobody knows what they're saying. Somebody in that church service could go and say, hey, this guy's been drinking. Now, to where we can apply it, that's why it is so important that we manage ourselves properly in the house of God when we're here, because we don't want to confuse other people that may not know, right? We want to show. I was always taught by my parents, one thing I remember is that when you go out in public, you behave yourself. You put forward your best because you represent us, right? When we come in here, we never want to be a stumbling block to a visitor. We never want to be confusing to a visitor. You certainly don't want to have to air any dirty laundry, you know? Why? That's just going to cause problems. You know, I would tell people all the time, there would be women that would come to church and their husbands wouldn't come to church. They'd go home and tell their husbands about all the problems of church. I said, you're not going to help them, right? I said, because they're not going to understand and they're just going to have a more of a negative opinion of church. Leave that alone. Don't do that, because they don't have the spiritual understanding or wisdom to be able to handle that. They're just going to get even more negative. See, I told you. You know, if you got somebody at home, it could be vice versa. You got somebody at home that's not really locked in. You go in and say, well, you know, there's the money. Well, I told you all they're about. That's what you're going to get. And that's not going to help them. You know, and that's what he's saying about the tongues thing. It says, verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he, we just read it, verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but others is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Okay? Now, Paul did a lot of preaching, and he did around a lot of people. It would not be a stretch to think that God gave him the ability to do that. It's a needful thing, right? I mean, Paul walking down a road by himself, uttering something that he doesn't know, what value in that is? You don't even know what you did. You know? I mean, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding. But see, let me read that again. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be ye men. He's saying that, you know, there's sometimes you just got to grow up, okay, and do what's right, not what you want to do. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. That's a very interesting verse, because he's talking about, look how in the law it is written, so he's not talking about the New Testament, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And that very well could be talking about evangelizing the world. And God would send somebody in there that didn't speak their language, but that would reach out to them. You know, what we can hear, what we have today, is we go learn another language. You've got the written word. You've got tools and things. Back then, learning a language was a lot harder. You could also see that being something that God would do. All right. Let's just go a little bit more, and then we'll call it a night here. Verse 24. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, why would tongues be for somebody who doesn't believe, if they can't understand it? The deal would be, is seeing God do something that a man can't do. But they would have to recognize that or that, or there'd be no value in it, okay? But then he was saying, but edifying, why is edifying so important in a local church? Because you're only here 2 days a week, and you got to live out there. If you don't get encouraged here, you won't make it out there, right? We come here for a stop, for a break, for a rest, so that you can get encouraged, because you're going to be around people that don't think like you or believe like you, and pressures around you the rest of the week. So edifying is very beneficial to people that are saved. If you're not saved, it's not going to do any good. You need other kind of preaching. You need the truth. You need to see God. But for us, we need that edifying so that we can get back out there and we can go out there and we can preach. Okay, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Now here, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of people, and some in this area, because when you talk to them about evangelizing, you know what they'll say? Don't bring those people in here. I mean, I've heard it. Because they don't believe church is for lost people. Well, I just showed you that it is, because it just said that. They just said some will come in, unlearned, and not believers. He's just telling you that that's one of the purposes of the church. Right? He just said that. All right? So there's no arguing. You know, there are people that believe that church is not for lost people. It's only for Christians. And that you need to, they're worried about the influence. They're worried about, you know, bringing in the riffraff. Well, that's what Jesus came to do. And you're the riffraff. I'm the riffraff. Right? Don't forget that. Okay? That's what he came in to do. So obviously church is for unbelievers because it just said that. Right? I mean, we want people to come in here. We, you know, at your door, if I knock on Alan's door, has anybody ever had anybody knock on your door and ask you about, has anybody ever come to you and asked you, do you know if you're saved? Okay? You know, knock on a door and say, hey, I'm from so-and-so church. You know, if you're not saved at that door, you know the likelihood of me leading you to the Lord at that door is? Unless, now, not impossible. But the idea of going door to door is to share the gospel, but also, what do you do? Listen, if you'd like to learn more, I'd love you to come visit our church. Because then I get 45 minutes, not five with a dog barking and the phone ringing and a baby crying. Then you get 45 minutes of the Holy Spirit talking to that person's heart. So of course church is for lost people. And that's a good thing to underline if you ever need to find it again, is to know, wait a minute, I know there's a spot in the Bible where Paul said you might have a church service where there are unbelievers in there. Whoa, go figure that. Okay? It says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judge of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifested. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and repent and report that God is in you of a truth. Wow. You know what 25 says? That those unbelievers can get saved in a church service. If that church service is edifying, if the church service, that's why, you know, you heard me say, you know, people always try to encourage the church to sing. Do you know why? We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for that one person that might not know. And you know what? He walks into a room of everybody lifting up their voice the best they can. It's not about the no. I mean, I know I can't sing. Nobody asked me to do specials. But I'm still going to sing it. But you know why? Because Christ is the solid rock, right? Now, I'm glad I got other brothers and sisters around me that can carry a tune. But the next time you get that opportunity to sing in church, think about edifying other people. Or what it looks like when a visitor comes in and they hear the whole room singing. You know what they're going to think? These people believe this. These people are excited about this. These people, wow, they really believe Christ is a solid rock. And a lot of time, I mean, you guys seen it because you can see the choir and the choir can see you. I mean, and Matt spent some time up in a pulpit. He's done some preaching and Alan's done some preaching. Sometimes you look out there and you wonder if everybody in the world's mad at you. Nobody's smiling. Well, you know, you could edify a visitor with just a smile, right? Because all of that sets the stage for God to be able to work. And we just read right there where somebody got, it says, if it's edifying and if he understands it, then he'll hear the truth, he'll open his heart, he'll get saved. Okay. We just got a little bit more of this, but I told you it's not probably not the most exciting Wednesday night because it's all about tongues. Not something we're going to, now watch that happen this week, but hopefully not. Hopefully nobody will jump up in church service and start trying to speak in tongues. So, Brother Alan, would you close this in prayer tonight? Where are we going to do the business thing tonight? Okay, so we're going to have a quick business meeting. He just needs to get caught up on that. So we'll just take a minute and we'll get right into that. Go ahead, Brother Alan.